Good morning, everyone. This is our Sabbath study class on Sunday morning, and this is September 18th, and we're gathered to finish the lesson we started last week on talking about love and emotions. I'll share my screen. Some reason. Are you seeing this screen here? Maybe I don't have it set up right.
I am looking at page 9 of 13.
Oh, good. But you're not big enough here. What's going on? Well, it's a little bigger. Okay, maybe that'll do. If you can read it.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Okay, well, I wanted to just recap a little bit. I wanted to tie this into the sealed book. First of all, for the just to recap, I think it's worth recapping what the main point here. We wrapped it in a lot of words last week, but the main point about love is that it is not an emotion, because in the opinion of this one expert, let me read her. This is a lady who wrote about this. Her first statement was, when an emotion is healthy, it arises only when it's needed. And so you can think about different emotions that we all feel, the negative emotions especially. You can understand that, they're not constantly with you. Even the positive emotions, that it arises only when it's needed. It shifts and changes in response to its environment, and it recedes willingly once it has addressed an issue. When love is healthy, it does none of these things. And so that's basically the summary of why love is not an emotion. And what we tie to love in the human, in the English language, is so many other things that are just at a much lower level than what the love that comes from God is. And that's what we're trying to focus on, is understanding through the eyes of the sealed book, or the lens of the sealed book, what we're to know about love. The only way we can adequately describe the type of love we're talking about is when we combine different words with the English word love, because our language is so limited. So we can attach words like unconditional, which the sealed book uses, which is good. It gives us, when you call unconditional love, we begin to understand that it's fairly distributed to everyone. There's no strings attached, but it still doesn't portray everything. And then we can also talk about compassion and charity. And then we begin to expand our understanding and to put it in a different category as separate from human emotions. Perhaps that's a good way to say it. This is a divine thing. It's a gift from God. It's a name of God. And we should not ever reduce it to the human perspective, that we don't control it. It's controlled by the Holy Spirit in our lives. We desire it, and God gives it. And does Jeannie or Lisa, do you have anything to add to sort of summarize the class from last week?
I really loved the part when we talked about that the difference between impels and compels. and Jesus's love, it impels us to do good instead of us being forced or compelled. That's more of a Satan desire. We're compelled to do something that doesn't come from God.
Okay. I'll try to find that in the lesson. It's here somewhere. I know it is.
And it was Acts of the Three Nephites, chapter 6, 12 through 13.
There we go.
Did I just read it? Oh, here it is. Yeah. All right, right here. Okay. Right, so this, all right, let's just review this. Is that, yea, verily, verily, I say unto you, that every feeling that persuades men to do good among their brethren and impels them to love, it proceeds from the hand of God. And so impel, we just reviewed the definition. Impel is to persuade someone to take action on moral or ethical grounds. It's something that's, you find reason in yourself. It's caused. It's not, you have control of it. It's something that comes from within, where you compel somebody. You're talking about coercing or forcing or making somebody do something. And so it's a huge difference. And it's so wonderful that the sealed book has highlighted this in this verse, impels them to love. That's the secret. That's one of the secrets that we need to understand, is that anything that comes from God, he's not going to force that on the people, because it wouldn't be lasting. So good. Thank you, Sister Jeannie.
Okay.
Anyone else? Okay. So, all right. So that's where we are. And so I think we can understand why love is not an emotion. But I wanted to read something from the sealed book. This is not in the lesson plan, but this is in lesson 4, chapter 4 of Acts of 4 of, excuse me, chapter 4 of the sealed book of Mormon of Moses, verse 24. Boy, I stumbled over that. 4:24. Okay. And just the last part of it, this is a fairly long verse. It starts, faith in turn grounds right feelings, nullifying the influence of opposing feelings. And then it goes on, but then at the end of the verse, the last sentence says, and if ye have only hope, so that your feelings cannot be shaken, then you will have faith. And so I wanted to highlight that part about, we just learned that the love of God is not something that varies, that it comes, that we might feel it differently, but God has love. That's part of himself. He defines himself as love. And so it is constant. And if we have feelings that cannot be shaken, in other words, if we can abide in that realm that God wants us to be with our good feelings, that's where we want to be. We have to be there. And so this thing on love sort of helps us get there in that sphere. You know, draw your circle, whether it's just around you in your bedroom or in your room or the space you're in now. You can control that in the sense that you can invoke those names of God in your life. You can have this peace, this space that you're in. It can become your little blessing spot, whatever you want to call it. That it's nothing can cause you to depart from there unless it's something that comes from the evil. And so if our feelings can be strong and love, knowing that love is not an emotion, it is always there. And so whatever we experience, we talked last week that emotions are helpful to us, our human emotions, because they sort of are indicators of where we are. Like if you It's easy to pick on the negative emotions in this example. If for example, we get up from this meeting, something happens and you immediately become angry. All right, that's an emotion. Then you know, well, something's wrong. I'm not in control. I've lost control. I've given it over to the evil one, you know, to sort of rule my life. And so I just want us to reflect on this, where we are, is that as a people, this verse has to become a reality. Their feelings have to be strong and have to be able to walk through adversity, like just like this 23rd Psalm says, walk through that valley of the shadow of death and fear no evil, have no fear, have no anger, have no doubt, whatever circumstances we have. And that's the strength of the Spirit in our lives. And so I just want us to help each other to be strong, and knowing that love will never wane. Love of God is always there. It is constant, because that's his nature. All right, so that's the point of the lesson. And I wanted to just go over then, and again, this compel, impel, it has to be something that we have, that rises up within ourselves. Let the divine take over your body, you know, your feelings in every circumstances that we're in. Let that love of God show through us. All right, comments, please. Just jump in, because I don't.
Brother Bob, I have that scripture and I can't remember where it comes from going through my head, because it applies to me. For he loved me first. And you talk about impelling. It's like a magnetic attraction. And that I'm very well of in my own life, from how I started. And it is powerful to feel filled with that love and overpowered by it, and in a way where you can't explain it to anybody that hasn't been through it, completely weakened and collapsed with it. There's nothing like it. And I remember my feeling on that was, I would give up anything and everything I will ever have to be able to live in that feeling that I had that first night that I found the Book of Mormon.
Yes, that was most powerful. And even by writing that down, Steve, by the way, Steve's testimony he's talking about, he shared it with me. He shared it in a class, and I recorded it, and he let me put it out on the website. So if you wanted to read it, I just, what an experience you had. And that was the key takeaway, that the sealed book says that love is the greatest power, you know, and the fullness of God's power is wrapped in love or hidden in love. It's, I mean, Steve just experienced that. I think what you were saying about love, this verse in John, First John says, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. And so all we do for love is loving back. That's all we can do. We don't understand love. We can just try to love him back. And so after he loves us. So thank you, Steve, for sharing.
It's so fresh in mind, because I'm today trying to video record this talk that where we bear our testimony, and it's going to be coming up in the conference where I do part of that as it is connected to the sealed book and the path it put me on to find Brother Mauricio, and some of the awake dreams and visions I had around some of this latter part, this stuff. And I know where they come from, but going through that and being a bit of a partaker of a lot of these near-death experience people and stories over the years. They describe love unleashed and not wanting to go back home and stay. And in my mind, I think as mortals and carnal trying to rise above this state, we don't understand how much more his love will be, but we're working toward it. And I think that's everything I read is trying to prepare us for a fullness of joy and for love like celestial love. So there's a lot of hope and there's a lot of joy in just considering that.
Exactly. One of the promises of the sealed book, when we first started hearing about this sealed book and it was being translated and understanding what it was all about, some of the things that were said in those very early days is that accompanying the sealed book when it goes to the people will be the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And so we were all much excited. And I think we're still waiting to fully realize that, but we're getting glimpses of it, you know. And so I agree with you, Brother Steve. Once you're in that space, you never want to leave. We got to remember right now where we are. We're still in the harvest. And so even though there's a song even somebody wrote about everybody wants to come sit at the table, nobody go work in the field. Well, you know, we have to realize we got to do the field work as well. So, but we can run back to that table whenever we need to. As much as we can. So, okay. So to finish this lesson, I just have some verses from the sealed book. So we can read through these if you want, or we can discuss, because the whole point of this is we've got to delve deeper into our feelings. It is my feeling. Like we understand it, sealed book tells us about we need to develop the gifts, like the names of God are the gifts of the Spirit and the names of God. We have to develop the corresponding feelings. We have to nurture this. It's a whole stewardship we have to go through so that we can get to the point our good feelings will never leave us. They're not immediately vacant in our lives when we face some situation we're not prepared for. We never get blindsided. That it says the feelings, this generation will face situations where you just immediately get, you know, your good feelings abandon you, just like the people that with Moses when they were at the Red Sea. It was only Moses who hung on to the good feelings that he had. The others were ready to throw it all in, you know. But, okay, so we need to grow as a people. And I think this is the number one topic in the whole church, is that we got to keep working on this. But to know that love of God is constant, put it in a different realm, put it much higher level than where we call emotions. Think of other words for human love. Think of any other word, but human love maybe, as opposed to divine love. But divine love is something completely different. And we just described, you know, some words: unconditional compassion.
I like celestial love.
Celestial love. Okay, so we got, you know. Let's maybe start attaching some of those words when we're talking about that kind of love, because we don't want to pull it down into our world and our understanding. As Steve's saying, is something we don't understand. All we can do is feel it. Know we want it. So, okay. All right. So if where was I? I think last week we were here. If we want to just continue from where we left off, we don't have to read through all of these, but let's go on. Or let the point, we started reading through the sealed book, and the first scripture we read was Sealed Book of Moses 3:4, and it talks about some very interesting concepts here. I will read part of this. It says, being that man was created in the image of God, reflecting in itself its divine attributes, namely love, wisdom, creative potential, and justice. So I hadn't seen these four grouped together before, but that's amazing. You know, these things that are that God were created in the image of God, and these things that I guess we can just look at it and try to understand how they're supposed to be part of our lives. But so that was the first verse, 3:4. Then 3:55 is the one who introduced the idea of unconditional love. And then 3:60, about sentiments derived from the love of the only begotten Son of the Father. We were, you know, we come to learn about these feelings. And then 3:62, and we'll start there. No, in no way can my people live the height of my priesthood in a united order as it did in the days of Enoch, excuse me, without the noblest and high feelings in their hearts, all derived from charity, which is the purest expression of the love of God among the children of men. So and then it goes on and finishes its thought, much less you can effect any ministry, whether it be healing or powerful works, without any of these feelings derived from this greater gift. So that is just what we were talking about, is that this purest expression, we have this word charity, and some of the other words we were talking about. Okay, so 3:67, but behold, to raise up Zion, there must be love amongst my people, just as you, Moses, love the children of Israel unconditionally and hast encouraged them not to be afraid, but to stand firm in their faith in the Lord so that they might see salvation from me. So that summarized what we were just trying to say, being unshaken, stand firm. And if the love of God is unconditional, is unending, is always present, we just need to find that connection, you know, that to draw on that and remind ourselves of that and never confuse the love of God with the love, the human love that we're talking about. They're completely different. Okay. See the book of Moses 4:25. The names of God are fundamental so that we know him more, we know more about him because they are an expression of the person of God within the children of men, reflecting their nature, importance, and divine characteristics among our fellow men. God reveals himself in us through their names, so that we are the representatives of his name on the face of the whole earth. And if you take the name of his Son, who is after the likeness of the Father, whose name equals to yours, then such names will lead you to know and admire his attributes, which are inseparable from his person. And just as it was said to Enoch, man shall also walk with God. And being in this state of communion through the priesthood or the grace of God in relation to women and other members of the covenant who are not called to the priesthood, but are filled with the grace, the likeness of the only begotten Son of the Father, the elements then recognize the command of him who, acting in the name of his Son, through the feeling corresponding to the desired action, that is, to the divine stimulus within himself, then nothing will be impossible. But behold, all things will be subject to him through faith and prayer. So, God wants to lift us into a new dimension. And I think this is going to be needed to redemption of Zion, is to figure this out, this reveals himself through his names. His names are the gifts. The gifts are the connected to feelings and sentiments. And they're sort of, we know if we have feelings and sentiments through emotions, I suppose, but that's not the sentiments and the feelings and the emotions aren't the end. It's the having the names of God, taking upon ourselves the names of God and his attributes. So there's power in his name. There's power in the name of Jesus Christ and the things that comes from him. So what are your thoughts? Any other thoughts on this verse? That God reveals himself. I highlighted that. I mean, that's huge. God reveals himself through their names. And so just take love, for example. And we've just had Steve tell his testimony about how that was shown in his life. But there's other names of God that we know about, you know. Okay. We got joy and peace and long-suffering and goodness and whatever.
Can I make a comment?
Please.
Yeah, so, you know, Steve, you were expressing about different people that you've known that have had near-death experiences, and Valera and I were actually very close to a man by the name of Boyd Johnson in Florida, and he had had multiple experiences, and you know, it was so challenging for him to like express it to us. And there was another gentleman that I met that also had a near-death experience, and he joined the church, and then unfortunately some members there, you know, did him wrong, and then he, you know, wasn't active anymore. But you know, they just, you know, these just some different things that we've been talking about, that it was like all encompassing. And one thing that I can think about, that the love was untamed. It was just unleashed, and it was just like the pure joy beyond like, you know, earthly description. And you know, I'm so grateful that that's really the main focus of the sealed book, is so much about that, because if we are not able to have that kind of love for God, for ourselves, and for others, like we're not going to be able to live the consecrated life that we're supposed to, so that we can create it so that Christ can come to the earth again. So yeah, I'm just like so grateful for all of your examples. And one thing that in my life that I know that is so vital is that I have to be in a state of gratitude so that I can then feel love and I can give love. And so that's one of the main focuses I've been trying to work on personally, is just be in a state of gratitude. Even when everything is falling apart around us. Anyway, those are just all my thoughts.
Okay. Thanks. Thank you so much. You know, just remember what we've touched on it earlier, is that our first priority is to receive the love of God, just as we read in 1 John. God loved us and so loved the world. And so we have to recognize that love. We have to receive it. We have to be to the point where it's like a chalice or a glass or that you receive it, you fill it in your being to the point of overflowing. And when it begins to overflow in your life, as we can sense that happening in Brother Steve, it then goes out to other people. You know, you've got to have a certain amount within you so that it's got this reserve, that it's never ending. And that so that's the responsibility. If we come to know the love that comes from God, we have to then show that to God in the fact of how we love one another. And so that's kind of where the hard part is loving people the way God loves us. But
exactly. And I remember a time when you know, many times in my life I've had to utilize the atonement, but I remember a very powerful time when I just felt that pure love from God. And I knew that my sin was forgiven. And that is when you feel that impalement. Like, I had this overwhelming sense of like, no matter what I do in my life, I will never be able to repay that. You know, no matter how much love I give, no matter how much service I do, I will never, ever, ever be able to repay that all-encompassing love that we receive from God. And this is a lot of the problem in the world today, is that people don't love themselves, you know. And I went many, many, many years not loving myself because of my choices. And then when I had that experience of feeling God's pure love for me, it was a huge change, you know, game changer in my life, that I was then able to love more deeply and be more judgmental of other people. And that's the beauty of feeling that impalement in our lives. And, you know, if we could all feel that, then we would, you know, we'd have a perfect world.
Thank you. And that's where we want to be, where words are inadequate. The only thing that'll suffice is those feelings. And that's what we said. I mean, that's the stated in the sealed book again, is that we can't call upon God with our name, with names. We have to do it with our heart. And so just as you said, so, okay, so that's the focus. Well, let's read this next one. This is in chapter 4, verse 36 of the sealed book of Moses. And so great was his faith, this is talking about Enoch, that no sentiment from the dark side could shake his emotional foundations. Well, let's just reflect on that. So let's try to understand that we can see what is required here. Okay, so no sentiment from the dark side could shake his emotional foundation, so that Enoch led his people of God and taught them the same principle, to guard their hearts from any and all adverse sentiments that fall about them, having an unconditional attachment to those feelings which are derived from the greater gift, the love, through the sentiments that emanated from the names of God, just as he had shown them when his enemies went out to battle against him and he uttered the word of the Lord, that is, the word that had sprung from their feelings, and the earth trembled and the mountains crumbled and the stones rolled and the rivers turned from their natural courses and the roaring lions roared together in the wilderness. Many heard and many trembled. So we can see this is, you know, we just read a verse, or maybe we can remember the verse. It talks about, we get to the point that the things of nature, the very elements, are grouped by the feelings. I'm not sure if I have that verse in here, but you remember that verse in the sealed book? It said that the elements themselves are arranged by the feelings. And so that if we have the feelings, we can interact in the physical world. And so it's, I mean, it goes far beyond what my mind can understand. But there's such power here. And so go back where we are. We're like taking a baby step here. I think our job as stewards of the sealed book, even though the Lord told us that this generation may not make it to the top, we never going to quit climbing. We're always going to keep focused, because I know I can guarantee you one thing. If we don't respond, the next generation won't either. And in the light of everyone else and all the, you know, there's 10,000 Latter-day Saints in the center place that in my heritage from the Community of Christ RLDS background, there's at least 10,000 that are in what's called the restoration branches, the people who wanted to stay true to the gospel of the restored gospel from Joseph Smith. They all grouped in these small restoration independent branches separate from the RLDS church. 10,000 people, and these are the people that Joseph Smith took the message of the sealed book to, where they met at one of the larger congregations was Colburn Road. It was filled to capacity. 400 people were crammed in this building. And then they went out to some of the other branches. Hundreds of people gathered to hear this, to hear the message. And where are they today? There's maybe three or four. But I tell you, if we don't do our job and raise the flag, raise the standard, keep the focus on, the next generation won't even know where to look. And so our job is to stay true, we never want to think that we are the kingdom, but we can think that we have a responsibility to the kingdom, which we must fulfill. And so, okay, so that's what we got here, understanding this greater gift. And Enoch wasn't an army of people. He was one who was able to gather probably several hundred people. How many people were in the city of Enoch? Does it ever say? I don't think it does. Maybe several hundred. You know, you need a certain amount to have a little city, I suppose. But
I think I read somewhere it was 300.
300, okay. Well, that's like the army of Gideon. And that's like what Mauricio says, Doctrine and Covenants, what is it? I don't remember what it is in the 102, maybe in the LDS, that talked about the Zion's camp, going back to reclaim Zion after the people were, their land in Zion, after they were tossed out. They said, send 1,000, 500, 300, you know. Don't go with less than 300. And so that's a good number. Okay, so.
Bob?
Go ahead, Steve.
I'm still chewing on adverse feelings. I heard something a couple of days ago that stuck with that. And they were talking about how important it was to not get caught up. And those that were trying to produce and magnify the negativity in the world about election fraud, and this one did that, and that one did this, who do you hate the most, and support us with your money. And you turn to television and you see the same things with the shows and the darkness. And I just got on Netflix to see what Jacob was watching, and the choices were all witches and goblins, and yeah. I mean, it's kind of bizarre. But she was making a point that not to feed into any of that, but to have good feelings about the fact it was coming to light. Because I feel, and I just want to bring that up, because it feels like every day, all day, most of the time, that which is around us is becoming more and more negative in terms of adversity, and we know where that comes from, and we know what's stimulating that. But she said, she was talking about, you just ignore what they're doing and be grateful and thankful for the blessings that they're being brought to light at whatever speed that's happening. And I thought, you know, that's something I can do. I can do that, you know, because I see 20 or 30 clients every day, and some of the common superficial talk over an exam table is always about politics, family, the dog, or whatever they're bringing in there. But it has a tendency to get politics or economy or all that stuff put in it. And I catch myself. And I don't want to be that way. I think becoming aware first and understanding who am I serving by involving myself in that is second. And then third, what do I do about it? And that is pick another word. And a good one would be to be grateful that it's being brought to light. But in the city, I don't know how in the city, you know, it just seems like everybody's getting angrier and more competitive and confrontational. I don't know if it's just me looking for it or looking how to avoid it, but it seems that it's a state of affairs in these times, almost like you can see the parties separating for what's to come, darkness or light. Pick.
Thank you, Steve. I've been actually at a wellness conference this weekend in Salt Lake City, and the woman, Stephanie, that I gave the sealed book to when I was in Massachusetts, she was actually here. And she was raised in the church, in the LDS church in Illinois. And she hasn't been active for a lot of years. And she's actually on board with a lot of things that the five of us believe. But she used to be very left, you know, she was, and now in light of like the vaccine and everything, she has become, you know, she refers to herself as being more right-winged. And so when she met me, she was real excited and she wanted to talk about politics, you know, because she's made this switch. And she was kind of shocked at me because I kind of just said to her, just what you said. I said, I know that it's happening. I know that it's, you know, corrupt, but both parties are corrupt and I'm just choosing not to put energy into it, you know? And she was kind of shocked that I wasn't wanting to like get in there and just like talk about, you know, how awful the Democratic Party is and blah, 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 you know? And so, yeah, I think that's really good reminder. And I love that, how it's important to say, yeah, you know, just be grateful that these things are coming to light and just focus on being positive in the world, because there's, you know, there's no way that we're going to change. I mean, this is all part of the fulfillment of what we know is going to happen. Yeah. You know, we're not going to be able to change, unfortunately, the state of the world, and certainly not politics in the United States or anywhere in the world. So why are we going to put any effort towards it? You know, it's just pointless. So let's just focus on love, right? All we need is love.
On those lines, Suzanne, and what Steve just talked about, it's like we aren't going to make those changes. And if we let ourselves get caught up into that, then there's anger and there's calling people stupid, or, you know, you get, your brain gets deflected from what the sealed book is teaching us. And in order, so that's this thing about guard your hearts and you know, be true to where we're focused on and our goal of changing ourselves to become better and more Christ-like. That is the purpose of the whole book coming out at this time, because we can't make changes in that part of the world. We have to make changes starting with us, and hopefully our people around us will pick up on that. And guarding the heart is probably the hardest thing to do, because it's easy to get all that adverse stuff. It's easy when a conversation starts to talk about. So thank you, Suzanne, for just saying that. You kind of nipped it in the bud and said, no, I don't want to talk about it. That's cool.
Just like what, you know, I mean, it's just so, it's so Satan's tactic. That's exactly what he's wanting to do. I mean, so if you go down that road, you know, you're just going into that road. And I've seen it in my own family. I have one sister who, her and her husband are very blue. They're very Democratic. And the rest of us are, you know, more Republican. And, you know, myself and my younger sister kind of somewhere in the middle, I guess. But it's been sad over the recent years that when we've had family gatherings, my mother has literally had to come to us and say, we are not talking about politics. You know, because it would just turn into this argument. And, yep, you know, my brothers are blah, 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 you know, and I'm just like, I'm just not going to do it anymore. I'm not going to engage. I'm just going to be like, you know what? The government is a mess. I'm going to focus on Jesus. So, amen.
Well, I certainly like this next verse that you picked out, Brother Bob, 5:28. Yeah, about the book being revealed in the fullness of times. Yeah.
Would you read it for us? I'm trying to find a verse in Psalms, but go ahead. Go ahead.
So, Sealed Book of Moses 5:28. Not even my children were able to comprehend the fullness of these things due to the precepts passed to them by my father-in-law, Jethro. Because the Lord has demanded of me, Moses, that after I have written these words, that I may be taken out of this people, Israel, and from among them, even the priesthood of his son to be taken away, lest they belittle this greater gift, the love coming from the higher name of God, and thus they come to desecrate its meaning. Therefore, it must remain hidden from the world until this book is revealed in the fullness of times. But not all will understand, except those who believe. Yeah.
Exactly. Okay. So, you know, I guess the thought I had on this verse was one of the things that I think's I need to watch anyway is comparing myself with others. You know, when you're in a group, you know, you might look around, we maybe unconsciously do that, where we are concerned how other people view us and react to us and, you know, how successful they are and this, that, and the other. And but that's something that leads us into trouble. Never compare yourself with someone else. If you're comparing yourself with anybody, it needs to be with the Lord, and to realize the gulf that's between us. But to never, this is just heartbreaking. You know, belittle this greater gift, and that's just where the world is. Belittling that gift, that's just so sad to think about what others, and that's what I was trying to say earlier about the 10,000 people here in the center place who should be supporters of the sealed book. They've all gone a different route, but nevertheless, Mauricio is reminding us, well, no, we don't give up. Because there will be a time when the people will come to this understanding. And so that's why it's ever important for this first group that we're all part of to always keep the message positive and keep it out there and live the message. You know, I think that's what people are saying. If they see people living the message, reaping the blessings and benefits of what Lord's talking about here, there is credibility to your words. They're not hollow words, you know? And so I just hope we all feel this impel. I don't know, you know, to be impelled to find the reason within us to go further than where we are. Mm-hmm. Okay, 5:31. It will then be given according to the things written by the prophets, that here on this earth and beyond the great waters will live, but that they will never perceive the hidden truth behind the previous writings, coming to know that the gifts derived from the fruits of the Holy Spirit are in fact the pure feelings coming from a sacred heart, a sanctified heart, in whose greatest gift, love, hides the fullness of God's power. Okay, so there summarizes things right there. That the gifts derived from the fruits of the Holy Spirit, which we know what they are in fact the pure feelings coming from a sanctified heart, and that this love hides the fullness of God's power. And so, I mean, we've got to really understand this and have see evidence of that in our lives. I think testimony is one example, and Suzanne, and we begin to understand how this is possible. And so, you know, isn't it kind of interesting how the Lord, something so simple, I think Moses said that even his children couldn't understand the The people of Israel couldn't understand this fact about what he was talking about because it was so simple that the feelings, you know, we understand how they're supposed to rule in our lives. They're not supposed to be academic, but they're supposed to be integrated in our being. You know, if David, you know, what you got inside your body, you got, you know, you got a pancreas and you got this and that, you know, but if Steve, you know, Steve operates on living things, you know, but if he could open up something and see, whoa, here's joy and here's you know, long suffering and here's peace. I mean, been to see what's really makes us up, makes us a human person. You know, it's not the flesh and bones, it's those feelings. So. Mm-hmm. All right, well, let's just do, maybe we'll just finish here real quick.
Bob?
Yes, Steve?
One thing.
Yeah, I was just sitting here and looking at that as we were talking about it. And to me, this is no different than Moses's time. You know, they were complaining about, or Moses was trying to explain to God about their feelings impregnated by the generations of slavery or enslavement. And in our time, you know, the slavery is to the dollar and to the economy and to all those generations that were taught, you get a good job, you get educated, you get a house, you get two cars. You know, we were all programmed to accept and seek after this enslavement of debt and material things, and trying to unprogram that. It's going to take, it's going to require this love you're talking about, and it's going to have to be a strong love. And I think when the day comes, it's going to come from a direction and with power that none can deny.
That's right.
I wish that were today, but I see that and I think about that. Now, I empathize, because if I hadn't been rescued, I'd be right back out there doing what I'd been doing for 50 years, thinking it was right.
Exactly.
No keel in the water spiritually, and no hope. And I thought that was normal. I thought going around feeling like I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired was normal. I didn't know that was hopeless until it was removed.
You know, the grace of God goes I, you know, it's like grace is a marvelous thing. We don't understand it either, but we just know it's there.
Grateful.
Okay, I'll just point you to in the allegory of the olive tree. God talks, of course, about the sentiments derived from the love of God and how they get mixed with other feelings. And there's the good and the bad, and that the water source, which are symbols of the love of God, and how that's worked throughout the whole allegory. The whole allegory is about the feelings of the house of Israel. And how they need to have the good feelings. That's the fruit the Lord's looking for. I guess that sums it all up to me. You know, we're talking about we need to have within ourselves the good feelings derived from the names of God, these sentiments. But God's looking at it from a little different perspective. He's saying, well, yeah, you got that figured out, but show me. Let those good branches sprout, you know. Use this power. And so he wants to have a generation that bears fruit, and that's where we are. We're the fruit bearers. Make that work in our lives. I just wanted to use Colossians here at the end. A couple of verses here is that you know, the Bible's got some real good powerful verses, of course. I mean, we were all raised on the Bible. Hopefully it's the foundation of our faith. It says here in Colossians, it says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. And this is the powerful part. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then ye shall appear with him in glory. And so this is like Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I think it is. You know, where you're crucified with Christ. I live. It's not me that lives. It's Christ that lives within me. And so when we take upon ourselves the name of Jesus Christ, we need to have, we are dead. We are, our old selves are dead. And it only, we only live because Christ lives within us. And so think about this verse, ponder it. So ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. And that's the power that's within us. So we just need to let it grow and keep connected to those good feelings. And Moses 17, this is the very last part of the sealed book of Moses. And unlike the days of Moses, when he came down upon the top of Mount Sinai, whose people were not worthy to touch the mountain where the Lord stood by his servant Moses, his son Jesus Christ will find at last a people who observe his commandments, strictly clean from the filthiness of the world of Satan and pure of heart, having all things in common, just as in the days of Enoch when they lived in a united order. Amen. So that's where we are as a church. That's our focus. That's what we're trying to implement. That's what Brother Mauricio is trying to get us to see, how important it is to come together, make this united order, have a place that's separated from the world because we're weak. We're not strong enough to live in the world, to live separate, to live in our scattered condition and achieve the type of results that God wants. I mean, we're not strong enough yet. We need to gather together and sort of enforce each other and reinforce each other, I mean, and grow together and prepare for that which is ahead, that's greater ministry, where the priesthood goes out and has the power of, we read about in Enoch, you know, so this is all before us as a people. That's why the Lord wanted the gathering. And the recent revelation, which hasn't been shared to the church yet, Brother Steve and I have read it. It said that the Lord has chosen Brazil as the place to build the spiritual temple. I mean, is there any way, Steve, anybody could read that revelation and have a doubt about that?
Don't think so.
There's no way. There's no way. I mean, it's clear. And so the gathering will begin in Brazil, in these places of refuge, to build the spiritual temple, whether that takes 1 year, 10 years, 100 years, I think it's all dependent on the people, but it will be. And the Lord does in that revelation talk about a 10-year period and certain things happening, but anyway, so I just want you to all be enthused and look with great anticipation at what's happening in the church.
It is exciting.
It is.
It is.
I think I can read the rest of these verses. You can read through these ones in the Acts, the rest in the Acts of the Three Nephites. I think you got a summary, but yes.
If you got that in a file you could share.
Yeah, I put it out there on the chat, but I can send it to you, Steve. I'll send it to you.
I'd really appreciate that.
Yeah.
I think lots of us want a copy of it. I don't think the chat works.
Oh, well, I'll just send it. Well, I sent it to you, I think. I'll send it again.
Okay. All right.
But all right, here's love definition. Although we have no unique word for the real meaning of love, we can define it. Love is God and God is love. Jesus is the perfect expression of that love, Love is definitely not an emotion. It's a gift from God. It's a commandment. It is the perfect expression of good feelings between individuals that does not waver. It is constant and enduring. It is the power to accomplish all things. So that's my thoughts on how to maybe say it. So, amen. I'm done. Amen. So,
good job. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Are you able, Brother Bob, to stop the recording?
Oh, I will try. There must be a button here somewhere.